following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
We're back for the highly anticipated second half of the conversation with FRB, John, and Chael. Don't forget to visit FRBshow.com to subscribe to the show. And without any further ado, here it is.
John, you'll love this story.
Okay, so good.
The World Cup of Wrestling. The World Cup of Wrestling. So you hear about World Cup all the time, soccer and all that. The World Cup of Wrestling in our community is just as big of a deal. Right?
I was there. In L.A., yeah.
But the bad side of wrestling is you're wrestling in front of 200 people in a high school gym. Even though it's the World Cup, the Iranians and the Cubans and the Japanese and the South Koreans, even though it's the baddest dudes in the world, it's wrestling. Nobody comes. It's a high school gym, and I'm not exaggerating about that at the time of this story. So, to also add to the story, the community is this big. It's tiny. They all know one another, right? Nobody listening to this knows anybody that wrestles Olympic level, and you may never meet anyone in your life. Not very many guys do it. So even though it's international, it's really small. So Matt Lindland's got a rival named Fuberto Esqui. Fuberto Esqui is from Cuba, and he's arguably the greatest wrestler of all time. Two-time Olympic champion in two different weight classes. Won gold medals. That's hard to do. So at any rate, Matt Lindland used to beat this guy all the time. But Matt could never beat him at a world or Olympic competition. But he would beat this guy. He's got a bunch of wins over him. They're out wrestling in a high school gym. There's 11 seconds left. Matt's down by 3. Now, Matt has a move. When he's down, he likes to pummel for the hands and then come over the top and elbow you right in the mouth. Hope that like throws you off your game and he can grab a quick takedown. Well, a takedown's worth 1 point. If Matt's plan works and he gets
he's
his point, he loses the match by 2. So he comes over the top, he hits a squee, and not for nothing, these guys have wrestled all over the world. They've got a bond. Even though they're rivals, there's a bond. Hits him right in his mouth, breaks his front 3 teeth. Now, a squee's so tough, he doesn't fall down. Matt doesn't get the point. Time runs out, he loses by 3. Duel finishes out, there's another 4 matches. End of the day comes, and they're walking out of the arena, which is a high school gym, quite literally a little tiny high school gym. Well, as Matt's headed for the exit, a squee comes in with like an 11 or 12-year-old kid. So a squee doesn't speak English. So the kid is serving as an interpreter. Now, there's only Matt Lindland with his bag on his shoulder, a squee, and a kid. No one else there. A squee starts yelling, and the kid begins interpreting. And a squee says, "This is not a fight. This is wrestle. If you want to fight, we can fight. But in my country, it's not like your country. I cannot go to a dentist. I cannot get my teeth fixed. I have known you a long time. Why would you do this? Why would you do this to me?" So Matt puts his bag down and tells the kid, "Tell him okay." And the kid says, "What?" And Matt says, "Tell him I will fight him now." So out of that entire speech, the only thing that Matt Lindland processed was tell him if he wants to fight, we can. He heard nothing else. So the kid won't do it. And Matt's like, "No, you tell him. You tell him right now. We fight right now. There's no one around. There's no ego on the line. There's no money. There's no one there. It's the three of them in a high school gym that's already cleared out." So the kid finally tells him, and his squee goes, "No fight. Wrestle. No fight." Matt picks his bag up and goes, "That's what I thought," and walked out. When Matt calls and tells, now this isn't
story.
The point.
Oh,
when Matt calls and tells me the story isn't like, "Oh my God, listen to this hilarious thing I did." The point of his story was, "Can you believe that? Can you believe he challenged me then back down like that? I'll never lose to this guy again. I thought he was a tough guy. This guy's a coward."
Jeez.
He didn't understand the point of his own story. He didn't understand the moral to his own story, which is
that's
what makes it
story.
Such a good
a
story.
That he was the fucking asshole.
That he was the jerk in the situation.
What?
Right. And
back,
he never did lose to him again. Matt lost all respect for a squee. He never lost to him again.
The way I know Matt Lindland is he fought Chuck Liddell twice, which brings me back to your comment.
They never fought.
Baroni a couple times. Chuck Liddell was actually a different
who
weight
did Chuck lose to?
Marilla Bustamante?
No. Who did Chuck lose to?
Well, he lost to Jeremy Horn.
Horn, that's who I think it is. Anyways, point of the story is that it does go back to
point
Chuck.
Point of the story is you have no idea who Matt Lindland is.
I know who Matt Lindland is.
Or Jeremy Horn, apparently.
I got them confused, and apparently I don't.
John, do you know Chael's record against Horn?
No. 0-1?
0-3.
3-0.
professional 30, fights.
All of them. 30-27 Chael Kruskal.
I lost a fight of three times.
But you were beaten every fucking time.
Kicking his ass.
But at the time, wasn't Jeremy Horn considered the baddest guy at that weight class?
And he was.
He was, though, yeah, right? I remember that. Yeah.
I fought him, and he got on a plane and went out to South Korea and fought Anderson the very next week. Now, he lost that fight, but it was an upset. He was supposed to win, and it was a close fight. He tore his hamstring and still almost beat him. But so at that point in time, yeah, Horn was the man. Absolutely was.
What was your hiccup with Horn? Like, he's not a great athlete.
Right.
Right? You know, he's a good jiu-jitsu guy, not an elite jiu-jitsu guy.
At that time, you're
a high-level athlete.
Yeah, at that time, he was pretty elite.
He was.
Yeah, if you look back, well, he'd already finished Chuck Liddell. He fought Chuck Liddell in the UFC, choked him out, and then was released from the UFC. I was fighting him on the open circuit. But he was ranked number one, and he went through this run. I mean, his run was incredible. I don't even know how many fights he won in a row. Maybe like 24, 25 fights in a row. But he was fighting 2 and 3 times a month. Wow. So it was cool, right? Now he's got this allegiance because, you know, Horn's doing a fight, and he jumps in a car, and he's driving halfway across the country. He's fighting somebody else, and he jumps in a car. So he had this cool little story going. I was brand new. I was trying to get out there. The only reason I got the Horn fights, Brian, is because no one else would fight him. And I said, yeah, I'm in. And then I'm in again. And yeah, I'm going to, you know, give me a third time. And I did whip that guy's ass. But I mean, he won fair and square every time.
Decision.
No doubt about that.
But
and one time the scar I've got on my head, 22 stitches I got from Horn.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah, but he was a rough
dude. It's
kind of
cool, though.
It
looks like a lightning bolt.
Looks like a little, like Wolverine. I used to have another one over here. You know, if you look close
awesome,
enough.
Yeah.
It was Marquardt.
Busted out.
Yeah.
Or did you?
No, Marquardt was the other one.
Did you gig yourself? Or?
Yeah, you think. Yeah. I had a color.
Did he have to blade you, or did you blade yourself?
Because,
I mean, veterans typically blade themselves.
That's right.
Newer guys have the veteran blade.
That's right.
Yeah. What is the hardest or most painful thing you felt in a fight? Like the specific Anderson.
Ouch, that hurt.
Yes.
Let me tell you the one. Let's see if we match up here. UFC 95, when you got submitted by Maya, he hit you with a punch.
Oh, my God, did he ever.
Which sounds weird, because Maya is not known as a big
right.
puncher.
Hardest I've ever been hit by Damian Maya.
Wow.
Yeah, but he tricked me, too. I was on top of him. We're on the ground. And he reaches over to go for a Kimura lock.
Yeah.
And on his way back to reset himself, so he reached for, on his way back, he backhanded me, hit me so hard, it made this click, and the fight was over right then. And the fight went another couple minutes. But he didn't know. It's like, hey, you don't know this, but you actually won this about 2 minutes ago. He hit me so stinking hard, but the worst I've ever been hurt, I fought Nate Marquardt, and he kneed me. Right off the bat, on my way in, he broke my sternum.
No shit.
And I didn't
you
know
won
it was
this
broken.
Fight, right?
Yeah, and it took so long.
You
to
won
heal.
That like 30-26
on
some
mark. 8 months to heal. I used to go to practice. My sister made me basically like this vest thing. It was a
so
t-shirt.
You fought,
ran out of gas.
You
at
fought
the end
Anderson.
Of that
match. Oh yeah.
You fought Anderson with a broken fucking sternum.
Yeah, well, and it was healed. I went and got something called PRP therapy.
Replacement.
Yeah, and that did speed things up, but. You know, a sternum's like your ribs. You can't cast them. They're just not going to heal. The good news is they're not going to get much worse. If you can put up with the pain, you can keep on living life. And it was a bad pain. Yeah, my sister made me this thing. She sewed it, and I looked ridiculous. It was like this, like I had boobs. But she made this thing right over, like, you know, where your chest goes. It was a big pillow that went in my t-shirt. It looked ridiculous, but it got me through months of training.
You should have fought like The Rock did when he got the pectoral surgery.
Yes.
With the black little thing. No, listen, MRB.
He got some fat taken out of
it. He had something, yeah.
Yeah.
That was probably from the gimmick,
yeah.
too.
His gimmick?
Yeah.
The Rock?
Could have been.
I can't believe it.
Tiny.
Dude, come on.
Okay.
I love your gimmick. So I want whenever you
what
throw
you, what
me.
What are you talking about gimmick?
When you,
it's a shoot,
it's
brother.
A shoot. It's a shoot. But a lot of people turn a shoot into a gimmick. It's a work shoot, which you got going on.
Yeah, I think Kevin Ioli tried to call me out and said that, you know, you got to play some angle. But then I saw a message that he sent to a mutual friend, and he's like, FRB has his cult following. And then he put himself over, saying,
which is true, though.
I make a lot of money and something like that.
But it's like, it's almost like if you had Iron Sheik in the room,
right?
You're gonna throw him some softballs just because you want the gimmick, sure. Right? You're gonna bring up Hulk Hogan.
Sure.
Okay. In this conversation that we've been having, you said something about Chuck Liddell. You said, I don't even want to talk about Chuck Liddell. So when we were talking about Chuck the greatest Liddell. Light heavyweights.
Oh, I just meant that.
I know it may not be personal, but I'm just curious. Why would you
was,
put
I
him?
I just thought Shogun was superior to Chuck Liddell, and people in, might be partial to Chuck because probably he was the most popular MMA fighter in the United States for damn near half a decade.
He was the first star, right?
He was the first star. Yeah. He was on cover ESPN before fucking Kimbo or Ronda Rousey, whoever. Chuck Liddell. No, I don't have any.
There was a time frame issue there, too. A lot of people, it's not the popular opinion, but there is an opinion out there where you'll hear Chuck was the greatest light heavyweight. Like, no. Chuck had a very good run, but he wouldn't have the opportunity to be the greatest. It was the wrong time.
But I mean,
there weren't a lot of guys. He was having to fight the same guy repeat. He fought Bob Lue twice.
Agreed
twice,
there.
Randy Couture three times. You know, there wasn't enough. Tito twice. There wasn't enough bodies in the weight.
And I don't want to put you on the spot with this, Chael, because I don't know your relationship with him, and I don't know if, you know, you guys protect each other and whatnot, but I feel that way about Matt Hughes. First of all, he's the only guy to win a world championship by getting choked out.
Sure.
Okay? Number two, he had at least two fights during his reign where they weren't title fights. One was Hoist Gracie. And one was someone that didn't make weight, I think.
Okay.
Are you talking about Travis Luter? That was Anderson.
No, not Luter. It was...
Well, Matt did fight Hoist, and it was at 175, so it was not...
But non-title.
Yeah.
And I'll think of the name, but... And look who he fought. God, I'll look him up here, and so I can tell you
but
some
you know,
names, but...
The thing that I always
guy
hear...
That is overrated, in my opinion.
The thing that I always hear about Matt, though... is just how nice of a guy he is.
Right.
You know?
He is a very nice guy. Here's what happened with Matt.
I mean, but he could be a great guy.
Look, if you're doing a shoot on Matt, John, your point was that they woke him up and gave him the champ. That's true.
Yeah.
Is that his fault? And that was just a weird hack and stance, but that happened. The other thing is he, in his entire career, and this gets missed, in his entire career he fought two guys that were ranked in the top 10, and they both beat him. Now, he came back and beat those guys. I'm talking about George St. Pierre and BJ Penn. Those were the only guys
ranked
in the top 10.
Your former teammate beat him twice. Are we talking about Matt Hughes?
Yeah.
Who beat Hallman.
Him? Oh, Dennis Hallman did
beat
him
twice. Wasn't he your
teammate? Yeah. That's right. Yeah. And he did beat him twice. But.
His fucking house burned down and you were one of the people that helped him.
Yes. Yes. But there was the point that I'm getting is there wasn't a lot that he could do. But if you're going to talk about actual history, it didn't get much easier career-wise than that. And there were guys around, and he stayed away from them. I mean, you hear about that all the time. But, you know, John Fitch and Josh Koscheck were going, hey, man, give me my shot.
Yeah.
And they wanted to do it. I mean, they put him in there. Guys like, here's –
Joe
I
Riggs.
One
Joe
drive.
Riggs is the guy I was talking about. Now, I guess that was a title shot. I thought he missed weight. But
I
regardless, it doesn't matter. Joe Riggs got a title shot.
Sakurai, Carlos Newton a couple of times. No, man, there was some water down.
Frank Trigg
some jobber named
his ass.
But you know, the interesting thing, Frank Trigg was the favorite in that first fight against Matt Hughes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was like minus 170. Like, everybody thought Trigg was going to
I think I was there. Is that the one where he did the comeback and the slam?
I think that was the second fight.
I think it was the second fight. I think that just got inducted. Back in the Hall of Fame. Which is, that's weird.
Cool. I mean, I like to see that
Chris
for Trigg. He just moved to Hawaii.
Again, these guys might be great people. I'm talking about you're calling a guy the greatest of all time in a division. I just gave you three of maybe his five title defenses. Or while he was five fights while he was champion.
I have one gripe against Matt Hughes. Literally only one, personally or professionally. And that is he came out with an expression. And this really isn't his fault as much as it is Mike Goldberg and these other guys that have then ran with the expression. But that was, you are not really champion until you defend your title. Now, not only is that absurd, not only is that ridiculous, not only is that completely degrading to people that won a world championship and didn't defend it, My gripe with Matt Hughes is that he did not make that claim until he had successfully defended, and they had him to defend it against an absolute bum named Sakurai. I'm a fan of the sport. I couldn't tell you for $1 billion what Sakurai's first name is. In fact, that might be his first name, and I don't know his. I don't know who the hell this guy is.
Hayato.
Okay, so yeah. he doesn't make this claim until the fight is. Now, had he made it ahead of time, this would have been a courageous move. Hey, look, I'm not even champion. As a matter of fact, you can't be champion until you defend. You say that before the fight, you got some balls. You say it in your post-fight speech, it sucks. And guys have ran with it as though it's true, and it's very degrading. Take a guy like Forrest Griffin, without question, world champion, beat everybody there was. He never defended the belt. And I could go on and on with guys that weren't able to defend, but he also wasn't able to fight Hayato Sakurai in a title defense.
To fight fucking Rashad Evans.
Right, he got to fight Rashad Evans. Right, he gets put to sleep.
It's the opposite of the Ric Flair promo. To be the man, you got to beat the man. Once you beat him, you're the man.
Right.
Right? That guy's the champion for a reason. Sure.
Roll out BJ Penn. If you want.
All
you want
I gotta to say trash, when someone says Matt Hughes is Joe Riggs. You know, I'm sorry, Matt Hughes is probably a great guy. Nothing against him personally.
You know, you bring up BJ Penn. I see all these people online. They talk about their super fights and all this. And I said, there's never going to be another super fight ever in the UFC because BJ Penn don't fight no more.
Because he's not going up and down?
He's the only guy with the balls to just go fight anybody, anytime, anywhere.
BJ is the real deal.
And
absolutely.
You know, he didn't take care of himself. He did some things wrong. Hey, he didn't gimmick himself.
Sure.
I don't think.
He did not.
Maybe with the cold beer.
Sure.
That's about it.
He did do a cool workout underwater when they used to do those all-access things, and he'd go under. Yeah. That was pretty cool.
Matt Lillen went over and did that with him, said it was a bear.
Really?
Absolute bear, yeah. You could not come up, you know, according to the coat. You can't come up till you gotta go underwater and pick up a stone, then you gotta carry it X amount of feet before you can come back up for breath.
And it looks really
Matt
cool.
Matt couldn't do it?
No, he did it, but the rule is you cannot come up until you get that stone to X feet, including, you know, whatever happens.
Unreal,
and, but, you know, a little weird, a little unconventional. But, BJ Penn was the real deal.
So what was his thing? He gassed?
Sure, he can. Yeah, he can.
So. He didn't work hard.
It wasn't
surrounded with a lot of yes men.
Yeah, you know, they smoke a lot of dope over there. They don't train a lot. Everyone's late for practice. And it's a different culture. It really is.
But here's the thing. I think I've talked to you about this, Chael. When you have a skill, you have a skill. If I know how to build a home, I know how to build a home. If I go and do cocaine every night, sure, my judgment may be off a little bit, but when I show up to work, maybe I'm a little bit loopy, but I know how to build a house. When BJ Penn has a skill, I can go in there and you tell me a combination, I can land it. I have power. I know what to do in jiu-jitsu. When a guy gives me this, I know what to do with it. It's almost instinct. How does he have, as many people believe to be, the best skills of any fighter, and he goes in there and he fights Matt Hughes or he fights whoever, and he loses. Why? Do you know? Could you guess?
Undersized?
Yeah, and there's so many intangibles. You know, the best athlete or the best skills, that'll take you so far. But, you know, in the fight game, it's so much about spirit and who can push and who's got the grit and who can deal with pain and adversity. Who can deal with those adrenaline dumps? You know, you'll hear that term out there, and it sounds like a cop-out, but it's a real thing. Get in there, you get excited, you get the people, the lights. You know, who's a good competitor? Ronda Rousey does not have a single skill that is, really going to make you ooh and ah, including her armbar. Her armbar is very basic. She shows it. She shows everybody, here's how I do my armbar. Try to stop me. It's very basic, but she's a master competitor. Now, John Jones does have those skills that make you go, oh, what did you just do? So he's a video game character.
So, Chael, how does Ronda get those armor? Is it just because she's so fucking strong, she can rip the arm, like they're trying to guard the arm, and she can just rip it out?
How does she
get the arm? Because everybody says she's really good at the arm bar because her mom taught it to her.
Sure.
Is that a reasonable explanation?
You know, she is very good at the armbar, but her armbar is very basic. And she quite literally, you go on YouTube now, she shows her armbar. She will tell people, this is my armbar. If you break it down, she's telling the truth. She shows how she sets it up. She shows how she's applied. But Mike Tyson used to do that. He used to tell people, I'm going to knock you out with an uppercut. He'd make them think about uppercuts all day long, and he'd come out, and it threw them off their game. So there is a psychological strategy to that, too. But why she gets it, I don't know. You know, first off, the girls are terrible. That's true. That's a reality. And second, they're not great competitors. Some of those girls, she straight up caught in arm bars. Several of those girls were just ready to get out of there and knew if I extend my arm, Ronda Rousey will go for it and I can tap, and they did. And that's a reality, too. That happens in fighting.
If the women's division was like any other division in UFC, any division, whether it's the most stacked or the least, would Ronda Rousey be this dominant?
No, she would be champion.
She would be.
She would be champion. She is the best competitor. But no, she wouldn't be this dominant. Ronda's skills are the real deal. Her competition stinks.
Why is Cyborg good?
Is she?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't either.
She's beating people.
Yeah, and I don't know either. I couldn't produce a name for you. Could you give me one?
No.
That she's beat?
I've never watched her.
Marlos Kunin?
Did she beat her?
What about Gina Carano? I mean, was Gina Carano good? Was she good?
No. She was all right for the time. Well, you know, for, she was for the just time. All right, but she was all right for the time.
But people got to realize, like, Gina Carano was a mediocre high school softball player. Ronda Rousey was a fucking Olympian.
Twice.
Well, so Gina Carano, what, found a gym and decided, I'm going to go try this,
because
and she was good?
She was dating the, what's the guy's?
Kit Cope.
Yeah.
The Muay Thai guy.
Kit Cope, yeah.
And the, what's the Muay Thai coach said, you know, you could be skinnier, you could look better.
So she goes and trains and decides, I know how to do this.
And apparently pretty well. I mean,
yeah.
For her, like Chell said, for her time, she was pretty good.
She was selling out arenas, though. Strike Force?
Yeah, in San Jose.
Yeah.
Her last fight, she sold it out.
I think Cyborg, even, she sold out that. And the pay-per-view numbers were decent, I think.
It was Showtime.
Showtime. It wasn't so the numbers were decent.
The viewership.
I was at WWE at the time.
Viewership very strong.
And we were wondering, why couldn't we put a girl in there and do that? I mean, the simple answer was, you can. It's just the way you book them. But, so Carano, the whole, like, at one point, I think a couple years ago, there was the hype around a super fight. I think even Dana White was speculating.
She was teasing
close.
About a comeback.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't stand a chance, is what you're saying.
Oh, no. No.
Ronda armbar.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, she couldn't get to wait. You know, Gina left on a bad note and then, you know, sat around and
got it.
Right, sat around. I mean, she wasn't doing MMA. You don't get better by not doing MMA.
Right.
Yeah, they just did this with Brock Lesnar. You know, he left on a sour note too, and they tried to say, "Well, let's just bring him back, and he'll take over the world and sell out Madison Square Garden." Well, he will sell a lot of tickets, but no, he didn't get better in his time off.
Why was he so good?
Well, he wasn't.
Yeah, Brock was pretty raw. He won a world
exactly.
Title,
that's my point, though, is he wasn't, but he kept winning fights.
Well, no, well, he was 5-4. He beat a 45-year-old man for a world title.
Here was
but a 45-year-old man that was a world champion. He was beating everyone else.
That weighed 218 pounds.
Yeah, that was the thing with Brock. Is like, take his amateur wrestling days again. He was very effective. He was he was national champion. That's effective. Great. Wasn't a good wrestler. In terms of, he's never going to make a technique video. He's never going to work a camp. You're not going to send your kid to a Brock Lesnar.
He's just a monster.
He weighed 265 pounds. That was the limit. In the NCAA finals, he wrestled Wes Hand from Iowa, who weighed 220 pounds. So Brock had 45 pounds of muscle weight advantage on a guy, which in wrestling is not allowed. I wrestled at 197 pounds. My opponents weighed exactly 197
pounds. Yeah, exactly.
Pounds. So he was in a weight class where he was given 45 pounds of muscle, and he still went into double overtime to beat this guy. Beat him fair and square. It was within the rules. But if you would have given me anybody that I outweighed by 45 pounds, they never would have made it three rounds, let alone into double overtime. That's just the reality.
So you're taking a little bit away from that skill set. A little bit.
Oh, from the skill. No. I'm taking part away from his skill. His skill set sucked.
And remember,
his position was solid. He was strong. It was hard to get in a position because he was huge.
And Brock never did freestyle or Greco-Roman.
Yeah, Brock was not a
How does he
wrestler.
Beat Frank Mir then? What, UFC 100, right? How does he beat Frank Mir?
Mir is your boy, and I don't know where it comes from.
Wow.
Mir's
a jiu-jitsu guy.
I did not know where that
Mir's
from.
A jiu-jitsu guy.
A bum
and
manager,
Brock
great
had
fighter.
Comprido. I don't know if I'm saying that. Comprido or Comprido.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught him well. He you know, defended all the submission attempts. He took him down. but beat him up.
Chael, regardless of where you rank Frank Mir, all-time, current, he's a professional fighter.
Yeah, stud, world champion.
World champion.
It's good
currently
good broadcast.
Top 10?
Absolutely, top 5. Okay,
Brock Lesnar destroys him in that second fight.
Yes.
How?
Because Brock didn't get hit in the face. As soon as he gets hit in the face,
I mean, if you're, all bets are up. I don't really know how to answer your question unless you're asking me to recap the fight. Brock threw him down, pinned him there, and began wailing away.
John, what point are you trying to make? That
I'm not even trying to make a point. I guess I'm just trying to ask someone who's been there.
You're trying to do MMA math, and that shit never works.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's there's so many intangibles. Like, that's the whole thing that makes this
I guess
fight.
My question is, so he is a rare instance in which the skill doesn't beat whatever it is he has.
Yeah, well, and it also sounds like I'm putting down guys, the only thing that matters is, are you effective? It doesn't matter how many spinning back kicks and boards you can break and all this crap that, you know, you're taught in these martial arts. It only matters how fit. Mike Tyson wasn't overly skilled. He was super effective because he had this raw power, right, this absolute aggression. He had size in his favor in terms of he was not built like anybody else. He was compact and powerful. It was hard to get a training partner to look like him. He had these intangibles. But he's also one of the greatest, most devastating boxers of all time, effectiveness-wise. And Brock was too. He's nasty, effective.
But, you know,
that's all that matters.
You've been one of the guys that have been most outspoken about Mike Tyson. And if you go back and you look at his past, never made an Olympic team.
No. Was never the best in the world.
Did he even make a junior Olympic team?
I believe he made a junior world team.
Junior world
but
team?
But he did not make an Olympic team.
And did he go pro because he could never... What was the guy's name? Trevor...
Burbank, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think that was our Olympian when Tyson would have...
I believe that's right.
Okay. So, and then Tyson, I mean, if you look at it, everybody points to the Michael Spinks fight. Michael Spinks is a 175 pounder. 175 pounds.
Right.
So, and then Tyson, what other signature wins? 38-year-old Larry Holmes.
Sure.
Okay. Possibly his two wins against Donovan Razor Ruddock.
Yeah. And his wins were fine. Give him his wins. But the problem was, they called him the world champion. They said he was the best in the world. And there was never a day of his life where he was. Evander Holyfield was there the whole time. Yep. People often forget that. We all concede that Evander can kick his ass because he did. We get that. What people have to understand is they're the same age, or Evander's a year older. It wasn't a matter of Mike stayed in there so long and then the next kid came along.
I think Evander's... He's older, and he had some kind of heart condition.
Sure.
That they want... He wasn't supposed to fight.
Yeah, and Evander called him out forever.
But you know who's better than both of them?
Lennox Lewis.
And even better than him.
Tell me.
Riddick Bowe.
I was about to say Riddick Bowe, yeah. Because Lennox Lewis wouldn't fight Riddick Bowe, is that right?
I think Riddick Bowe would not fight
Lennox
Lewis.
He dropped the trash can gimmick, the trash bag.
I think Riddick Bowe... You know, he should have quit after the trilogy against Holyfield. Because he fought back. The Polish guy that just kept undercut, you know, right
the white guy.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Bolska.
I'm close. That's not it. Very close.
He would just continue to low blow him.
What was that white guy's name that kept hitting
at
him?
At that time, I don't remember.
Andrew Golota.
There you go.
Oh, Andrew Golota. Yeah, he lost to Andrew Golota.
No. Andrew
Golota. Golota was low blowing.
Andrew Golota was beating him up, and Golota would just low blow him. It was like Golota was trying to lose. It was weird.
He wanted to get disqualified, but he was throwing hooks, power hooks, like you throw it to the body, and he just went right to his testicles.
Jeez.
Right.
This is good for you. We talk about Netflix sometimes. Watch a documentary. I think Tyson is credited as executive producer, maybe. Great documentary, though. It's called Champs. And they talk about some of the stuff we're talking about. They talk about Holyfield coming up and Tyson coming up at the same time and how it was supposed to happen. It didn't happen. And then once it did. But then it's also like their personal lives and stuff like that. But it's a great documentary. It's on Netflix. You should watch it.
Check it out.
It's good, yeah. And all the Tyson apologists are like, he was never the same after prison. He was 30.
Right.
His head was in a different... I mean, he didn't want to fight anymore. That's the whole thing. Is like, and here's the thing, too, is I don't know because I was a kid, but I watched the Tyson fights and I did think this is the baddest man on the planet. But think about it.
How old are you, John?
33.
So you're I'm 32.
I grew up on Mike Tyson fights.
You see, but we grew up at the same time, and I guess I never really thought much of Tyson.
Here's the thing: is I was a wrestling fan because in 90, I fall for the gimmick.
And I saw Buster Douglas, and I'm like, oh, okay, you know.
Well, see, I do remember seeing. Yeah. See, my guy was always Lennox Lewis.
Right.
As far as like a skill set and going, because I mean, even at the time there was Lewis, there was Holyfield, Tyson, Riddick Bowe. Maybe not Tyson so much during like those three, but I always remember being like, I'd go with Lennox Lewis as this guy. Now, again, I'm young. I don't really have anything to go by except what I'm saying.
That was a really great era of heavyweights.
It was. But the point on Tyson was maybe he was just the first manufactured superstar. This is the guy we want to go with.
Sure.
Let's say he's the greatest, and he's the greatest.
Yeah, well, you have to say he's the greatest. I mean, have to. If you're, that's just basic promotion. It is 1:30 in the morning. How long did your podcast go?
Well, I mean, it's a podcast.
The guy who says he never sleeps is tapping out the first.
You want to know my problem? Is I'm so thirsty. I want to get over to the phone and order. I want to order a Coke.
Make it part of the podcast.
I don't know. Can I order a Coke, or is that going to throw everything off?
Well, I got to take a piss. So when I come back from taking a piss, we
can. All right, you go pee, and then John and I talk while you pee.
Exactly.
Okay, you go pee, because then I got to get a Coke.
And then when he comes back, me and him talk.
Yeah. And then do we all talk?
I say we listen to you order a Coke.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody wants to know what does Chael do when he's not fighting.
And everybody wants to.
You don't, I mean, I can't even respond to as many tweets as I get asking questions.
Talk about shit, jabronis like us.
That's funny. No, I'm so thirsty. I've had two sodas since we've been doing this. And I gotta get, I might even.
You won't drink Pepsi. Let's talk about that.
I used to be a Pepsi guy.
Yeah, see, I flip-flop.
Right.
Now, I don't drink soda anymore. But when I did, it was Coke. Then it went, when I did the Pepsi challenge, and I was like, oh, it's Pepsi. It's not even close, it's Pepsi.
Right.
And then I went back and I was like, I was wrong this whole time. It's Coke.
Coke is one of the greatest treats that God has given man.
You called it a treat.
It is.
How did you quit Coke?
A Coca-Cola,
you just have to stop.
Big enough to swim in the summertime?
When you quit, there's no strategy. You just have to go, today I'm not having one. And then tomorrow you go, I'm not having one. And if
don't tell me. Don't look. I'm never going to quit. Well, if they prove it'll kill you.
Trying to quit.
I'm trying to quit.
It's if you're cool with iced tea, you can make it.
Yeah, I think it's the sugar, man. I mean, I've tried so many times.
You can get your sugar. When I quit,
but the doctor
soda,
says
I went to dessert I'm crazy.
Good. Yeah,
you'll find your way to get your. Now I don't know if you've ever drinking. There's a drink called kombucha. Have you ever tried it?
No, what is it?
I've had it.
Okay, it's an amazing, amazing drink, and I'm gonna try to describe it, but I don't really know what it is. Kombucha is like a mushroom, but somehow they get this mushroom, and I think it somehow grows upside down. Mushrooms grow from the ground, and I think kombucha grows
from California hipster drink.
Yes, exactly, although you live in Oregon, so I don't know why you're saying that.
Do you guys need anything?
No.
How many beers do we have left?
It's got to be enough to get you through the night. I mean, even if it's a couple. How many deep are you? You're 8 beers deep? You just got here.
8? I mean, shit. I was on a fucking plane for 6 hours.
Anyways, FRB, real quick. There's the kombucha that they make flavors. So they'll be like, oh, cranberry orange and this and that. And they're all good.
Yeah.
But there is one now that is a blatant ripoff of Dr. Pepper and Coke. And I'll get those, and they don't taste like Coke. They come really close, but they'll give you your fix. If you can find it.
What? How many, like, grams of sugar?
9.
That's it? 'Cause, like,
9, Coke, but it's all natural sugar. It's natural.
Because, like, Coke or Dr. Pepper is, what, 39?
God, at least.
It's fucking bad.
And it's not even so much the sugar that's in it as it's the fake sugar and like the, what, the glucose or...
High fructose corn syrup.
That's the worst. The kombucha has just all natural, whatever you get in it is natural. Chael loves it. He loves the stuff. He calls me all
Why
the time.
Why are we plugging these jobbers? What are
Chael's
you
lost a lot of weight.
With kombucha? Doesn't he
look like he
He's
has?
Lost a lot of weight.
He was very chubby last time
that.
I saw him.
Yeah.
Very chubby.
You're looking good.
I was worried about him.
Oh, Bad Guy Inc. sold the t-shirt.
He was 263 pounds the last time I saw him.
Jeez.
And that was only like 3 months
ago. He's walking around looking like Brock Lesnar.
What? How much do you weigh now, Chael?
You know, I'm still in the 240s, but I've been exercising pretty hard. I've been exercising pretty hard.
That's surprising.
Yeah, Clayton came back to town. Clayton was in town for about two weeks. I was training anyway, but Fabiano's been working us. Fabiano might have a match coming up with Solid Ribeiro, so he's been getting himself in shape, which, you know, pushes us all a little harder. So.
Isn't he a little guy, Ribeiro?
Ribeiro, yeah. He was like 188 pounds when he won Abu Dhabi multiple
He was
times.
In Strike Force, wasn't he?
I don't know if he ever fought or not. He was training
How old
Diego
is he?
Sanchez. For a while there. Ribeiro's got to be damn near 50. Got to be.
I'm thinking of some... I'm probably thinking of Shale... I'm thinking of somebody else.
Okay.
Chael, who do you like in WWE right now? Do you have a guy?
Well, yeah,
Lana?
I do.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, that was kind of the obvious. I felt like if we just said who...
Now, how do you get away with watching WWE? Like, does the wife watch with you? Or
No. And I got to watch it after hours,
She won't watch... Because she's into she watches Total Divas.
She watches Divas, but she doesn't want to watch Raw.
What does she think?
She never misses Divas.
What does she think...
Who's her girl on Divas?
She likes them all, but she likes the redhead. She likes Eve.
She likes Eve, yeah.
And she does pull off that red hair, I'll give it to her.
Does she think
that's a hard look
that Cena will marry Nick? Because I think I think Nikki Bella, like everybody knows that he's never going to do it, but like she thinks he. I kind of feel
she. Can't.
I know two. Come on. The number two, very big reasons why he won't.
What are they?
I just said.
Because she has breast implants.
Did you?
No.
You said two very big.
Okay.
The number two.
Right. Yes.
There's...
Okay. It just got
Brian the... knows too. He just hasn't solved the riddle yet.
He's
now nine beers.
I'm nine beers deep. What do you? I mean,
you're not. No, you're not. You are ten. You are in ten right now. There is
ten beers.
Yes, there is two left in the thing, and I ordered you a dozen.
Yeah, who needs friends?
At the beginning of this podcast, which was not very long ago.
Who needs friends
when
you have Chael to count your beers for?
Is there a guy you would endorse?
the greatest character right now, and possibly ever, is Bray Wyatt.
Yes, no doubt.
Yeah.
But
Randy Orton is the man.
And was very cool when we met him at WrestleMania.
When we were at the WrestleMania.
Was he a fan? I think he's a fan.
He was just a nice guy. He was just a cool, nice
Randy's
guy.
A great guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy was with, like, he's got I guess he just got divorced. He's got this new girlfriend. What was that? He's got this new girlfriend or whatever, and I think Isaac...
He's engaged.
He's engaged.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, Randy, that was a great match. I think he wrestled. Who the fuck did he wrestle?
Seth. He beat him clean.
He's
Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
An hour before Seth got the strap put on him.
So,
with a great RKO, by the way.
So
I say to him,
this is my friend Chael. And his reaction was like, what? Yeah. And he's like, Chael. And I have a picture of it. I have a picture of him going like this. I mean, he marked out. He marked out for you.
Did he really?
And
he used to talk about UFC a lot.
His reputation, you know, as being an asshole, he was the nicest.
The nicest guy.
But here's the thing about Randy. He's just you can't mess with Randy and get away with it where you might brush something off. He won't. Nicest guy in the world. Never once did I have a problem with it. I worked with Randy very closely. Nicest guy. But the second you do something to piss him off, he wears it on his sleeve. It's just...
He's front row Brian.
Oh, come on, Chael.
Wait, so FRB, so you say Bray, do you have a guy? You'll turn it on specifically if you know this guy's on.
really only Brock Lesnar.
Really, yeah.
You know?
There's not a lot of guys.
Under the qualification you just gave, Brock Lesnar. That's the only guy. Or that where you tune on, you'd stop.
I will
what you
say
doing.
This,
that,
though.
I mean, if they say, hey, Brock Lesnar's on Raw, I mean, I'm going to watch. And then and Paul Heyman is just like, I mean, Paul Heyman is incredible.
He's great. They need
his
switch Brock's
glory,
matches
glory
up.
Brock Lesnar song he was singing. I'm like, this motherfucker, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's great. Brock
and if
just
Douglas,
wrestled Seth,
if Douglas
right?
could control himself, Douglas Where? Has that type of potential too.
Sure.
Can't.
He can't, yeah. Yeah, if he could, yeah, you're right. He's a genius. No, wait a minute. Did Brock just wrestle Seth? Is John right about that?
Yeah, Undertaker
that
came
did?
Back.
No.
Okay.
But
Battle,
see, that was like,
that was
what
in
is,
Japan?
Is that Brock?
No. That was Kofi Kingston in Japan.
How many matches has Brock had now? Four or five?
Brock
now?
Wrestled Kofi Kingston?
Yeah, a squash match, right?
Well, yeah, a glorified house show, basically. In
but
Japan.
They're going to do another house show October 3rd at the Garden.
On the network?
They're
going to
do Lesnar versus, I don't know, who.
But Lesnar, who's he fighting? You don't know.
I don't know. No.
But it's on the network?
Yes.
No, but here's the thing is I watched the Seth match and I got bored. And Brock matches have been so exciting since he came back. That match I got bored. They're doing the same thing. And that's a typical Vince move. Just keep doing it.
But you know, I'm really into the authority too. When Triple H talks, because I always like to compare like what he's saying to like what could really be best for business. That's kind
of
my
interest.
There's
probably a lot of shoot in there.
I think there is. But like
more than you. You know, here's the funny thing about Triple H. And when I was there, you know, Triple H has this reputation of holding people down
right.
and trying to put himself over. And I saw that more out of Shawn Michaels
but that's the opposite.
Than I ever saw out of Triple H. And I used to tell people, man, Triple H, man, he will go in and say, let's say he's not big on Chael and we're going to push Chael. He'll go in there and he'll go, man, you know, no, probably not. But he'll give 10 reasons why you shouldn't push Chael. And then he'll go, but FRB is the guy we need to push. No different than what I would do when I was in the meetings. Shawn Michaels, on the other hand, would just go, no, Chael looked at me wrong. And that's it. And then it's just the end of the Chael push. So and now you're starting to see the real Triple H.
Yeah.
And that's the guy that I saw.
So that brings up an interesting topic, because I know you've been asked by a few people about working a match, wrestling a match. And you tiptoed around it. You really didn't answer the question. You said you're not trained. You can get trained. There is dozens of highly qualified wrestlers that would love to have you in their school.
The Hart Dungeon you could go to? Bruce? I'm sure
so,
Bruce Hart would be a great.
But it would be just that. I'd have to go in and do it. And I,
right.
You know, I don't have a commitment to it. I mean, I could get motivated. There was a time when I really wanted to do a match and thought about going in and getting some training.
But what kind of match do you think you have to do? You learn three moves,
but
you go in there and you beat Chael Sonnen.
Yeah.
Just do a mat-based attack. I mean, it can't be Phil Baroni. I like Phil Baroni. He's an interesting character, but that's
can
not
work
the...
work a match?
That's not the match to
I
make.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Phil can. I've only seen clips of him wrestle, but yeah, I thought he did pretty good.
Yeah.
They were short clips, though.
Here's the thing, Chael.
I think Chael versus Shelton Benjamin versus Magnus versus fucking Jeff Jarrett.
Kurt Angle and
give
I spoke
that guy,
briefly
give Jeff
about
Jarrett a call.
Doing a match.
Will I call him right now?
Let's give him a call.
Should we put it on
it's
speaker?
It's 2
yeah.
in the morning.
Well, what's he doing?
Serious question. How long is this podcast?
However long,
how long
we want
have
to talk.
We gone? 2 hours.
2:20.
Can you post this whole thing?
My producer might be able to. I don't know how to.
We're just talking at this point. This thing ended for people listening an hour and a half ago. Either they turned it off or it shut off on their iPhone. Because you can't download a file this big.
Yeah, if anybody listened to this at work, the good news is you almost get to go home. Your day is almost over. If you're working 8-hour days, it's time for lunch.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah.
Are you done drinking, John? I'm the only one drinking?
No, I still actually got this one going, and I think there's two more. So.
You nursing on those? What are you doing?
I forgot I had it, to be honest.
All right.
No, but, Chael, back to the work in the match. I think if you were to work someone, it'd be pointless for you to wrestle anybody but a total superstar or fight for the world title. It's the Brock Lesnar gimmick.
Sure.
It'd be pointless. A Shelton Benjamin match would be awesome for us to go watch.
How about Magnus?
It doesn't make sense for Chael. I would say if Magnus held the Global Force title, it makes sense.
Right.
Outside of
I don't expect you to give out any information, but like, when would the Global Force champion be determined? Not who.
Yeah, that's.
How will that work?
Well, okay. So as far as the actual tournament finals taking place, that would be. I think it's Chael. Is it October 21st? Ask her if she wants to be on the podcast.
Yeah,
she's gone.
Okay. It's October 21st, right? The next taping?
Yeah. Hey, Chael, call Jeff Jarrett and ask if
it's
Karen...
It's 2 in the morning!
Call Cyrus.
If Karen wants me...
Cyrus is up.
I could get Cyrus. Cyrus, and he would come to the podcast.
Well, bring him down here. We'll talk to him.
Does he have the key to access the suites, though? Because you got to put the key in the elevator.
Well, yeah. We'll send my security guard to get him, and then bring him back.
Has the heat gotten that bad for you that you had to hire private security, or is that just in certain places?
I don't have to pay for it, man. The guys that are badasses just I'm with, and then
that's a good deal, yeah.
Nobody says anything.
But yeah, so the Global Force champion will be determined October 21st when the masses get to see that. But then maybe by then you can convince Chael to go after that.
Now, I'll tell you this, and I don't mean to put myself over, but this is real, and you're going to see a little bit tomorrow. And I told John this, because the last time we came out here, Brian, for the last show, is my first experience behind the scenes. But I got the cold shoulder from these guys. Like, I was pretty happy to be behind the scenes, be part of the group. Thought I would be welcomed right in.
Yeah.
And it didn't work that way. There was a couple of people that did, the Bali Brothers, by example. But,
Now, was there a...
There was a couple of jabronis that... They were kind of putting a stink eye on me. It's like, guys, I'm not going to start shooting on you.
Chris Masters. Is this one of the people that you,
I felt like things were a little icy. I thought he could have warmed up a little more. And so I thought, well, maybe that's my job to let him know, hey, the real I'm a worker too.
But here's the thing,
don't have
Chael,
to worry
Chael,
about is what I was trying to
Chael,
let him
when
know.
There's a, when there is a,
but now I'm not sure he doesn't.
When a hot girl is invited to a party, right?
Right.
She knows she's invited because she's the hot girl.
Yeah.
Until she finds out a hotter girl was invited. And now all of a sudden, I'm not the hottest girl in here, and everyone's looking at her. You're the hottest girl to show up.
Tell them, John.
And a lot of people can't handle that. Now, I was there with you. Did I see it? Yes. But it could have, is it the old school mentality of this isn't your world, so we're not going to embrace you? Maybe, but I don't think so, because I think that's come and gone. But I truly think that someone came in, and they were maybe told they would be the top guy. And I'm not speaking on Chris Masters or anyone specifically, just in general. And then you're there. And all of a sudden, now they know they're not the top guy. It's just that simple.
I don't know the psychology behind it, but I felt it.
I think some of these guys...
When we're in the eating hall, and we're all eating, I was feeling it. I felt, I say hello to people and trying to, it was our first time, that's what you do, you go meet people.
Well,
and
Chael,
getting reciprocated.
What did you do? Because there's an unwritten rule in professional wrestling, when you walk into the room, you have to greet everybody.
Not Chael, though. People come and greet him.
Yeah.
Is that true?
You have to go up to them and say, Chael Sonnen,
FRB, we did
nice
that. FRB,
you.
Let me explain how we did it. We set up a chair.
Everybody.
We set up a chair in the arena. It was an empty arena with the ring. We set up a chair, and literally I started a line, and everyone came up and paid their respects.
Right.
So, yes, the unwritten rule was followed, and everyone paid their respects to Chael.
But some didn't kiss the ring.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
So
no, but they were a little icy. I didn't go up to them and say, hey,
I'm chill, happy to be here.
I absolutely didn't. I did not greet everybody in the room, but understand where we went to eat, there was everybody in the room, 60 people?
I mean,
there's no way to do that.
I've never been in the room, but from my understanding, it's like, unless you're really over big, unless you're like the fucking Rock or John Cena, you walk in, you greet everybody.
Well, when you're the Rock and John Cena, you greet them first. It's the whole Andre sort of thing.
You know more about the pro wrestling. Is there an unwritten rule when you're kind of a jabroni or new to the scene, you go in, and even if you don't like the motherfucker, you walk up to them and say, hey, FRB.
That's always been the thing, yeah, and I even followed it as a writer. I mean, when Undertaker was there, you go up and you shake the Undertaker's hand. And I mean, to be honest, I didn't do it because it was a rule. I did it because I respected that guy, and I respected everybody back there. And it's just, forget the rule. You walk into somebody else's world, you pay the respect.
Right.
But I believe in that too.
Yeah. And I don't think you did it. Yeah,
because
I did. Because
when those guys come into your world, they're marks. You know, I've seen them.
When they come into our world, though, I mean, to follow them, I usually do go up to them because I know they're the new kid in school. I don't wait for the new kid in school to say hi. I try to make him feel welcome.
Yeah, but
and I'm not saying they should have done that with me. I'm just saying when I did take the time to say
hi. You did fine.
I felt a little blown off.
But, chill, that's a little different because you're just a genuinely nice person.
Thank you.
It's a little different when you're dealing with, you know, people with egos.
Here's the other thing, too, though, Chandler, is you have a very well-known gimmick, and you don't come from a world where people would assume that's a gimmick. You come from a world that's real, and it is, and you are that person. You have to be to play that, but some people don't know how much of that is you selling tickets and how much is it Chael just sitting in a hotel room, and that's the way he talks about
people. But if they don't know,
it's intimidating.
They're the fucking mark. They're the fucking mark, man.
I gotta tell you, FRB, if you have enough content, I have got to go to bed. I have the show tomorrow, we got a meeting in a number of hours, and I got Clayton 2 hours after that.
Oh, Clayton's down here?
Yes.
Okay. Very
but in a polite way, well, I don't want to fall asleep, but I don't want to give you a lack of material, but I feel I genuinely need to warn you, I'm fading fast.
Yeah.
Let's end with the feats of strength. What can you do to impress us?
I could lift this right over my head. 100 pounds, Jerry. Right
that is
over
egg
my
action.
Head.
Here's the one question I didn't ask you.
Okay.
Do a superstar Billy Graham. Your favorite superstar Billy Graham.
Oh, the favorite? Okay. Give me 1 second to think about this. Now, I wish we had a camera, so the fans are going to have to imagine. But right now, look at that arm, Brian McMahon. Touch that arm. Feel that arm. Don't touch me. You don't ever touch my body. You understand? Look at you with your pale white skin. Look at me, golden bronze, because I'm training every day in Death Valley, California. You understand? It's 114 degrees. I wake up every morning. I eat my steaks raw. I don't even cook them while I'm getting ready for you, Bruno Sammartino. I lift thousands and thousands of pounds. I swim across the ocean. I run hundreds and hundreds of miles every day.
What about...
But my favorite part is when he tells Vince McMahon, you don't ever touch my body. Look at you with your pale white skin. And then he says, look at me, golden bronze. I wanted to hit that on Joe Rogan one time. I just didn't think this skin thing would go over well. But that's funny. That's a funny line. Because I train every day in Death Valley, California.
You did hit him with the middle-aged comedian.
Yeah. I was going to use the same line to say I train every day in Westland, Oregon, where it's 114 degrees.
Yeah.
But I did. I also like, I got to re-break it down. I also like that he said, I eat my steaks raw. He then lost his place, so he repeated it in a different way.
I don't even cook them.
Like, yeah, we got it. We know what raw means. But I could tell he was his spot. Which I liked.
Swim across the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah.
Unbelievable condition.
That's the accent right there.
I am the man of the hour.
Yes. That's the accent I was trying to go for
but
right
what's
there.
Your favorite Bushwhackers promo?
I wasn't into it, man. I was Demolition Guy. I was Demolition Guy. I didn't like that the Powers of Pain the ripped funniest off. Thing I didn't like I think that the Road ever... Warriors ripped off Demolition. Yes, that's I don't like that anyone copied.
Demolition was kind of gay, though.
No, come on. Demolition was the best. Demolition was the best. Here's the thing, Jill. The funniest thing you've ever said, ever, is when you said that LOD ripped off Demolition. And I'm ripped not saying this. Yes, I'm literally saying from a comedy perspective.
He really said that.
That was awesome. Demolition is one of... I wouldn't say they're better than LOD, but that's because I know what Road Warriors did before they came into NWA. But Demolition was great.
And Demolition went out.
Crush was awesome.
I agree, but that was their biggest mistake. They went to three.
Because they wanted to transition from Axe to Crush and keep it going.
Brian Adams guy, so I knew his career. I'm in full support. And God, you know, we lost him at a very young age and all that nice stuff. But he was the wrong guy. He was wrong as Crush.
What was the guy? Bill Eady?
Yeah.
I think he was getting old. No, Smash
was... No, Axe was Bill Eady.
Barry Darsow.
Yes, Barry Darsow. You're
Smash
exactly
was
right.
Repo Man.
Yes. Yeah, you got it right.
Yep.
So on Repo Man, maybe we should call it a night.
I wish we... It's now... Here, I want to give the fans the time of day, because if they're listening at work,
real quick, it's just like an after show. How do I press record if you start snoring?
Just so they can hear it. Oh, he's going to start snoring.
All right, so we got to tell this... We got to tell this story
before.
See, okay, so we're in L.A. like 4 months ago at Metamoris. And so Chael's going to wrestle Babalu. And Chael has a very bad anger problem. And so I'm in the bed. I'm not in the same bed, but I'm in a bed next to
him. Right, side by side.
So I'm snoring. And
the story's better if you say you're in the same bed.
God, he's snoring so loud, John. Yeah, loud.
Okay. But you're going to pick on your loyal friend because of a deviated septum. And I really thought that I was going to get German suplexed from the 18th floor onto fucking Manhattan Beach in California. He was so fucking mad.
You heard and him from your living
you
room?
You give your version, but you know and then I'll tell my version.
But here's the thing. I just said, you gotta wrestle Babalu and make a bunch of money. Oh, poor Chael. You poor Chael. Okay. That's my side of the story. You were a little baby, and what's your side?
Okay. They're very close, but the inflection's a little different. So before we go to sleep, FRB knows he's a snorer, okay? We go to bed late. He had invited people up to the room earlier. Great people, not turned, but I mean, we had people in our room, so we got a late start to bed. Douglas, before he left, dumped a bottle of salt on our bed.
Was Marty Jannetty at the party?
Right, so bed's not exactly comfortable to start with. Now, Brian tells me ahead of time, and we've done this dance many times.
I mean, we've been up
traveled the
roads. We've been up and down the road before.
Yes, but he has told me a number of times, I'm going to snore, and when I do, wake me up and don't feel bad about it, and wake me up over and over. But otherwise it keeps, okay, fine. So I fall asleep, and he snores nonstop. So I'm yelling at Kyle, Brian, I'm throwing pillows out, I'm doing it, I'm waking him up. It's then like, Brian, you have to roll over. So this is where the fight starts, is he refuses to roll over, and then 5 seconds later, he's snoring again. And then his big move is to go, I'm just going to stay up so you can sleep. And he'll even grab his phone like he's now up. And, I mean, it'll be seconds later, he's asleep with the phone in his hand. So I'm yelling, you got to roll over. So he fires back, you know, F-word and this and that, and then says, rolling over won't help. And I'm like, well, we have to try it. I have to wrestle in a few hours. So then he lashes out. You're wrestling Babalu. He's terrible. This is an easy match. You don't need sleep. He's doing this whole thing. So I'm going to get up, okay, and I'm going to dump the bed. I'm going to tip the bed over to show him you're rolling over, you jerk. I don't do it. He doesn't even know I'm thinking crazy like this. So the next day, he's like, I can't believe how much you lost it. You had these crazy eyes. Now, the room was completely black. There's no way he could see my crazy eyes. He calls my wife and tells her the story. He went crazy. You should have seen his eyes. It was pitch black. He made that in his mind. And I was hot.
That's awesome.
Well, when, you have a 200.
And then he made himself the victim of all my deviated stuff. And that's true, he doesn't deviate stuff. But he never told me that until the next day.
So is it open season on you if you snore? Like, let's clear this
no,
up.
No! He'll say it is. Don't wake him up.
Okay.
Just.
No, you'll get the greatest night of sleep that you possibly can get, and we won't.
No, I'm going down to the casino. Fuck you guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Your night isn't over?
Oh, hell no.
It's 5 a.m. your body's time.
Yeah.
FRB, before we let Chael go, one more story.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Virgil?
Oh, fuck Virgil, man. Okay, here's the thing. His manager is a good guy. His name is Paige. He's the same guy. He's
his nephew.
His nephew, yeah. He's with the Iron Sheik. He's a good guy.
So it's the same guy that put over Sheik then with this gimmick.
Yeah. And Virgil doesn't have a cell phone. And there's a lot of issues of getting a hold of Virgil. So it's not Virgil's manager, Paige. It's Virgil is just a fucking piece of shit.
And well, tell the story. So you asked Virgil to be on the pod. He accepted.
Yeah. Yeah, I asked him. Yeah.
But you book it all through his manager.
Through Paige, yeah. I send him the money. It wasn't like a direct, like, oh, here's $50 for the podcast. It was more like, all right, here's $50, Virgil, because I've been entertained by you, you know, like, saying stupid shit throughout the years. Here's $50. Can you do me a favor and come on the podcast? And they said, yeah. And then Virgil goes missing in action, which apparently he does a lot to his own manager. So, you know, here we are a month later, and, you know, they said that I didn't send him any money, and then I took a screenshot of the PayPal receipt. And we're still trying to work things out. So
bottom line is, he told you to come on a podcast. You got a show to do, and he didn't come on. That's a scumbag move.
Yeah.
And no showing is one thing. No call, no show is just you can't do that.
You know, I brought him back to WWE when I was there to work with DiBiase's son.
Oh, there.
And Ted wanted him out of there every week.
He's so worse.
He came up to me. He's like, I got to babysit this guy.
I was drinking.
It became a rib to keep Virgil around.
I mean, I was
but
drinking.
He was such
once.
A nice guy, though.
No, he is. He is an okay guy. I was drinking with Greg the Hammer Valentine, and
Hammer.
Virgil just kept coming up to him and bothering him. Here I am, a fucking mark, you know, just drinking with Greg the Hammer. We're watching a baseball game. It was Tampa Bay Devil Rays versus Cleveland Indians, like 2007, and he would come up to him every 5 minutes and say, let's go to Sizzle, baby. Let's go to Sizzle, because he's
sure.
got that lisp. And Greg the Hammer, like, the first time he's like, no, Virgil, I just want to watch this game. I don't want to go to Sizzler. Comes up to him like the fifth time. Greg the Hammer's like, Virgil, I don't want to go to fucking Sizzler. Can you leave me alone? He's like, okay, daddy. Okay.
Wanted the Sizzler.
Yeah, but they got some good stuff, man. And
see,
he's
though,
like,
the gimmick is on him, though, because I don't even think Sizzler still exists.
No, there's a Sizzler in Inglewood when we went to the World Cup.
And we have one in Oregon.
Am I crazy in thinking Sizzler, when I was growing up, was actually a nice place, and then it just kind of...
degenerate.
Like Red Lobster, growing up, was like, wow, we're going to Red
That's
Lobster.
For your birthday, you'd ask to go
yes,
to Red Lobster.
Yes, and now it seems like no one goes to Red Lobster.
Sure.
Is it just that people realize what good food is?
But Red Lobster actually just got bought out, and they're a whole new company, so give them a second chance. Yeah, they did. They got bought out about a year and a half ago.
You love eating at TGI Fridays. Give them another chance.
Get the potato skins.
Yeah,
no work.
All right, so let's wrap it up.
So let's go to the after show for another hour. And
right, let's go into the encore show. All right.
All right, so...
tell the people we've had it with them.
We've had enough. And so for Chael Sonnen and John P. Marini...
Hey, hey!
FRB, signing off. Later.